Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to take a look at the tribe of Benjamin. You know, when you read about Benjamin in the Old Testament, you see some of the things that he gets involved in. I'm talking about that tribe. It stimulates my thinking, and I'm like, what is going on with this tribe? Let's look in Genesis 49, and I'll show you what one of the concerns is right away. Genesis chapter 49. Look at verse 27. Jacob is giving prophecies concerning his sons before he dies, and he says about Benjamin in Genesis 49:27, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. To raven is violent preying. In other words, not just taking the prey, but tearing it and ripping it and fighting over it. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All right, so you read that prophecy and you think, wow, man, that little tribe right there is going to be tough. And then, before Moses dies, he blesses the children of Israel, and he also prophesies. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 12, he gives a prophecy concerning Benjamin. And he says of Benjamin, he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him." God, that doesn't sound like a tribe that will raven as a wolf. "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders," like carrying him or caring for him. And you look at those two prophecies, and you know you are dealing with something interesting and yet something strange. Because these are vastly different prophecies concerning the same tribe, concerning the tribe of Benjamin. But you know something, if you'll go through with me and study the history of this tribe, you're going to see why these two prophecies are so different. This sermon, I'll just kind of give you a little clue, on the tribe of Benjamin illustrates the great work of salvation that is wrought in Jesus Christ. Now, you can tell from Jacob's prophecy that the tribe of Benjamin is particularly vicious, raven as a wolf. Let me show you this tribe, raven as the wolf, in the book of Judges. All right, so we go to Judges chapter 20. And if you've read through your Old Testament a couple of times anyway, more perhaps, you know that in Judges chapter 20, a really wicked thing happens. In a city of Benjamin called Gibeah, we're going to see this in Judges chapter 20, verse 5, "The men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night." Okay, there were children of Belial in Benjamin, in this city of Benjamin called Gibeah. And what happened is, there was a man who dwelt on the side of Mount Ephraim who had married a concubine. And she had left. She'd gone back to her father's house, and he'd gone to her father's house to recover his concubine and bring her home. On the way home, it was late, and so the man and his servant and his concubine ended up staying in the street in Gibeah, and an old man came in out of the field and saw them and brought them into his house. And you know, the custom is that when you bring somebody into your house like that, in the book of Judges, you see that, you know, even in Lone Survivor, the custom is when you bring that person in, you take responsibility for him even more so than you take responsibility for the children in your own house. Now, that man became his charge. And so he's there, and the men of the city, these children of Belial come in, and they want to perform, you know, they want to take that man, and they want to they want to sodomize him. That's what they want to do. Their lust is absolutely beyond control, and so what they do, what the man and the guy that came to stay with him do, is they give that concubine to those men of the city to try to satisfy their lust. And you know what they do? They abused her all night long. The Bible says in Judges 19:25, the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Well, they were so vicious, they were so harsh with this woman, when they left her there on the threshold, she was dead. She was dead. And when that man got home with his concubine, he cut her up into 12 pieces and sent her pieces all through the coast of Israel. That's Judges 19:29, to stir up the anger of Israel against what Benjamin had done. And so when all Israel got together in Judges chapter 20, and they came to Mizpah, that's the place where they gathered for, you know, military work, and that's where they staged for their wars. There are 400,000 men of Israel in verse 2, Judges chapter 20, verse 2, that are there with their swords, and they're ready to fight. And so what they do is they send men to Benjamin in Judges chapter 20, verse 12. And they say, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel, but the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. So they're saying, "Hey, we're not going to turn these guys over to you. We're going to fight." Whoa, that was a bad day. So they're ready for war. And in Judges chapter 20, verse 15, look how lopsided the battle is. The children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered, 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling stones at an hairbreadth and not miss. So they got some good artillery. In verse 17, the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered, 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. So you've got these 26,700 in Benjamin, and you've got some stone throwers, some guys that can sling stones in there, left-handed. There's 700 of them, and they don't miss. That's artillery in our modern warfare against these guys that have to draw the sword. So there's going to be somewhat of an advantage, but look. Benjamin is outnumbered 400,000 to 26,700. Now, in this particular battle, the children of Israel go to the house of God in verse 18, and they ask counsel of God, and the Lord says, "Yes, you're going to go up against the children of Benjamin, and Judah shall go up first." That's just like in Judges chapter 1, verse 2, when they're getting ready to start taking the land, and they're fighting against some more of the Canaanites. They say Judah is to go up and first. And that's so they're leading out in the battle. Well, they engage, and in verse 21, the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Outnumbered 400,000 to 26,700, and in that day 22,000 men of Israel died. So they go back and they inquire of the Lord again. The Lord says, "Yeah, go up again." And they fought again. In verse 25, Benjamin destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. I'm telling you, man, there are 40,000 dead troops by this time. And you know, that's 10% of the army that was attacking. But in the third battle, you read about in the rest of Judges chapter 20, Benjamin is nearly decimated. By the time that battle is over, in Judges chapter 20, verses 47 and 48, there are only 600 men left of Benjamin. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness under the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to. So, I mean, there was literal destruction. There wasn't anything left. Matter of fact, they had killed so many people. That is, Israel had killed so many people in Benjamin. These guys, there were just 600 men left. There weren't any children. There weren't any wives left for these men. And after that battle, Israel had pity on Benjamin. And you'll read in Judges chapter 21 the men of Israel went around, tried to find out if there was anybody that was called to the battle that didn't come. The men of Jabesh-Gilead had not come to the battle. And so the men of Israel went over to Jabesh-Gilead and killed everything over there except 400 young virgins. And they gave those 400 young virgins to the 600 men. And that left 200 men that still needed wives. And so Israel gave counsel to the men of Benjamin and told them about a feast that took place when the daughters of Shiloh would come out to dance. And they said in Judges chapter 21, there toward the end, verse 19, 20, 21, he said, when those daughters of Shiloh come out to dance, you go in there and you take you a woman for every man. So the 600 men had 600 wives, and that tribe of Benjamin was not cut off. They began to grow again. You're going to see as we go through some more of this study that they really rebound completely within a couple hundred years. Now, you know, you read that story and you're like, wow, man, I can't even get that. Well, that's what Jacob said. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Boy, you talk about vicious warriors and I mean, just mean. Now, the thing that's very interesting about this story and a piece that I left out on purpose is that concubine. Do you know where that concubine was from? According to Judges chapter 19, verse 1, and other places that you'll keep reading through Judges chapter 19, that concubine was from Bethlehem, Judah. She was from the tribe of Judah. And you may be thinking, well, so what does that have to do with anything? It has everything in the world to do with something, because in the fact that she is from Judah is a significant detail in this very bizarre incident and the war that followed. You see, if you will remember back to the book of Genesis, there was a time when there was a famine, remember? And Joseph had stockpiled all that food down in Egypt, and his brothers came to Egypt to get some food. And when they got there, Joseph knew who they were, and he imprisoned Simeon and sent the boys home and said, I'm not going to give you any more food unless you bring your younger brother. Well, they brought Benjamin back. You know, Jacob was very reluctant to let him go, but had to because they were starving. They brought Benjamin back with them when they came there the second time. And when they were there, Joseph pulled a trick in order to get Benjamin to stay with him. And when they came back and faced, that is, all the brothers came back and faced Joseph, Judah, get that, stood up for Benjamin and said, I can't leave that boy here, because I made a covenant with my father that I would be surety for him. And if we leave him here, his father's going to die. Look at Genesis 44, verse 32. Thy servant, Judah speaking, and he says, thy servant, he's talking about himself. Thy servant became surety for the lad, talking about Benjamin, unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Do you see what happened here? Judah became surety for Benjamin. That's what he did. He stood up for him, and he said, listen, I know that you want to keep him here as a bondman, but I'm not going to let you do that. I mean, I'm offering myself to be the bondman. Let the boy go home. Let the boy go home. If anything, listen, if anything, these children of Benjamin, when they found out what the children of Belial had done in Gibeah, they should have been especially righteous in their judgment toward the men who were responsible for this concubine's death. Why? She was from Judah. Judah was the brother that stood up for Benjamin as surety and offered himself in Benjamin's place. Do you not realize that's what Jesus Christ did for us? But when they decided to fight instead of turning over those children of Belial, you know what they were like? They were just like the prophecy that Jacob said of them in Genesis 49:27. They ravened like a wolf. They fought to their near death against all the other tribes of Israel to protect those wicked men. Now that tells you everything you want to know about the men that come from Benjamin and the men that come from Judah and what their relationship is going to be like. You see, when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and you look at the first king in Israel, he is a man named Saul. Remember him? And in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2, take a wild guess if you don't already know where Saul is from. If you guessed that he is from Benjamin, you hit the nail on the head. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bichoreth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now Saul is there because Israel had mercy on Benjamin and gave wives to those 600 men that were left after that vicious, vicious battle. If it hadn't been for that, there wouldn't have been a Saul. All right, he came as a result of their mercy, and he was from Benjamin, right? Now he started out really good, he really did. But then, problems. He became disobedient to the Lord, and you know how his reign went. He offered a sacrifice, which he should have never done, at Gilgal. Terrible thing that he did. He was told to wipe out the Amalekites and everything they owned. He didn't obey because he feared the people, and they spared the king, and they spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. And Samuel had to tell him, "You're rebellious. You didn't obey the word of God. Your rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You've rejected the word of the Lord." All right, well, in the meantime, then, because he's going to continue to rule, Saul is, for years, Samuel anoints David to be the next king in Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. So the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him, but the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. And you know that David had a blessed life. Let me ask you something. You have any idea where David is from? What tribe David is from? If you guessed that David is from the tribe of Judah, you hit the nail on the head. That's right. David is from Judah. And Saul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, fought against David, who was from the tribe of Judah. Saul was ravening like a wolf against a man that God had sent to be a blessing to Saul, just like Judah had been a blessing to Benjamin. When you read the story of Saul that you see recorded here in the Old Testament, you know what you find out? You find out that Saul really is a type of the Antichrist. Yes, sir. But in spite of Saul, David made a covenant with Jonathan, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, Saul's son, that David would not cut off his kindness from Jonathan's house forever. They made that covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 to 17. Now, while this covenant pertains specifically to Jonathan's progeny, and that man named Mephibosheth was the beneficiary of it in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, because Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, and David wanted to show kindness in honor of this covenant to Jonathan's son, while this covenant pertains specifically to Jonathan's progeny, it is interesting that the covenant was expanded to include both tribes. David's tribe, Judah, joined with Jonathan's tribe to form the two southern tribes of Israel when the kingdom split. Now, if you'll read through 2 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3 carefully, this is when Ishbosheth, Saul's remaining son after the battle with the Philistines, takes the throne over Israel, and Abner, his general, is trying to secure it for him. Well, Ishbosheth accuses Abner of sleeping with Saul's concubine, and so Abner determines that he is going to unite all Israel under David, and you know what? Benjamin agreed to the plan. I mean, by this time, when you study 1 Chronicles chapter 12, by this time, I'm not reading all these passages because I think it would be hard for you to follow all these, but I'm telling you where they are so you can read them for yourself. By this time, there were already a number of children of Benjamin that had joined with David before Saul's death. There were several of them that were with him in Ziklag. There were another 3,000 that joined him right after his death and didn't follow Ishbosheth. As a matter of fact, one of David's mighty men was Ittai, the son of Rebai, out of Gibeah of the children of Benjamin, the very city where this wicked act with the concubine took place. So, I mean, Benjamin is, enjoying this covenant relationship that David had with Jonathan. In 1 Kings chapter 12, when the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were divided, Judah and Benjamin were the two southern tribes that comprised Judah. I mean, Benjamin really had been pretty loyal to David. For example, when David comes back from his exile, after he ran from Absalom, in 2 Samuel chapter 19, there were 1,000 men of Benjamin that met the ferry when David was returning. And when you read, continue on, and you get like to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and you're reading in Asa's reign, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, in Asa's reign, Asa has a really good military of 580,000 soldiers. 300,000 of those soldiers are from Judah, and 280,000 of them are from Benjamin. Now, they had at least 200 years to rebuild from those 600 men, so it's very plausible. This is not an error. But do you see what's going on? Half of that army that Asa has, and they're really good, because they defeated 1 million soldiers out of Ethiopia. Half of them are from Benjamin. Boy, that's something. Now, what is all this? What is all this that we're studying today? What does it all lead to? What are we getting at? Listen. Jesus Christ was from the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ was from the tribe of Judah. Okay? That takes us all the way back to Genesis 44, where Judah is a surety for Benjamin. It takes us all the way to David, who makes a covenant with Jonathan from Benjamin and says, I'm here to protect you. I'm here to protect your progeny. I will take care of these. It takes us to that united kingdom of Judah. Jesus Christ was the tribe of Judah. Got any idea where Paul the Apostle was from? If you guess that Paul the Apostle was from the tribe of Benjamin, you know what? You hit the nail on the head. You guessed right. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Paul writes, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. When Paul's name was Saul, you know what he was doing? He was fighting against Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, when Jesus appears to him, he says, why persecutest thou me? But you know, doesn't make sense when you're from the tribe of Benjamin, unless you consider that Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. But you know what happened? Saul got saved. And when he got saved, things changed for Saul, who became Paul. And you know what? His testimony matched the prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 12. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell safely, in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders. I'm telling you, Paul was certainly the right man for God Almighty to choose. Jesus needed a tough man from Benjamin who was on his side like Jonathan was for David. Do you see when Jesus Christ died on the cross? Listen, he said, I'm dying for those that are as mean as those that raven as a wolf. The worst of my enemies are those for whom I die. And if I can get them saved, you know what? They'll dwell in safety by me, and I will cover him all the day long. He'll dwell between my shoulders. I don't know how wicked you were before you got saved, but I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus Christ, you weren't any wickeder than those men, those children of Belial there in Judges chapter 19 and 20. When God saved you and put you on his team, I'm going to tell you what. He changed you. These very different prophecies concerning Benjamin, they show you the difference between a man who fights against the Lord before he gets saved and a man who's willing to fight for the Lord after he gets saved. The Lord has always intended that men get saved and get on his side and fight the good fight of faith. That's his desire. And I pray that's what you do. And may God bless you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.